All right, guys. So today we're reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 14. So I'll go ahead and get started with that. As for you who were dead in our transgressions and sins, and which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that, in the coming of ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness of us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is from the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility.
Thanks for reading that to us, James. You missed out on getting your birthday card. I'm not quite sure where you were. But let's just, before we go into this session, why don't we sing happy birthday? You know, it's amazing to have reached the decade of 40. I reached the decade of my 40s a while ago, and I remember saying to my friends, you know, what is the lesson, what are some of the things that you want to tell me? Nigel will have plenty of things to say about being in 40s, I'm sure, but one of the things I was told is, do not get worried when you take out a tin from the cupboard, and you look at the tin, and you look at it like this, and then you just have to go like that. But thankfully, I haven't had to do that yet. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear James. Happy birthday to you. Sorry? I'm just going to see if this makes any difference. Actually, that's a bit worrying. It might make a bit of difference. Maybe I should get my eye. Okay. Today we're looking at a really important area of the gospel. As we come to Jesus, we see in the cross and in the resurrection a reconciliation that is going on, that is not just a reconciliation between us and God, but is a reconciliation between us and one another. And we may have experienced some of that already today. When I came in, I suddenly realized, horror of horrors, I was sitting down next to somebody who was supporting Colombia. I mean, it was devastating, so I really had to, and I said to her, oh no, but I'm talking about reconciliation, so I'm going to have to love you as I have this breakfast, but I am quite pleased to just find out that we did win. But somebody did say to me, you didn't really win, you won only on penalties, because it was actually a tie. So reconciliation is our theme for today. And I must say, as I look at the theme of reconciliation, I think more and more in the world that we live in, a world which is full of an increasing desire for nationalism, an increasing desire to pull down the hatches, and to say, actually, it's all about us, it's all about me, rather than it being all about you and all about the other. This theme of reconciliation could not be more significant for us to be looking at today. And it's wonderful that we're heading off to a Marae later on to listen to another community that might be different to ours, and to hear their story and how their story fits into my story, your story, which fits into God's story. Martin Luther had a really good quote. I just want to bring this slightly. Can I move this wire a bit? Martin Luther had this really good quote. Most people are thermometers that record or register the temperature of the majority opinion, not thermostats that transform and regulate the temperature of society. What does it mean for us to be thermostats in this divided and siloed world? What does it mean for us to love one another as Christ loved the church? The resurrection is the hope for the nations, and through the resurrection, we see this amazing prophecy fulfilled, where in Isaiah 11, it talks about the lion lying with the lamb. Actually, it's funny, we always say it talks about the lion lying with the lamb. The actual translation is the lion lying with the calf and the wolf lying with the lamb. But the picture below is often what is expressed. But this picture, which is a crazy picture, it's the picture, as I looked at this PowerPoint, I was thinking it's South Africa and New Zealand. It's the lion and the many lambs that are in this country. But it is the lion lying down with the lamb. And it is that beautiful picture which is going to be the reality of eternity. And God is calling us to that reality today, to say, what does it mean for us to model the picture of what went on at the cross and what will be ours forever and ever in eternity? As we come to the passages that we've just been looking at from Ephesians 2, can I encourage you to open it up? Because I think this is such an important passage for us to be reflecting on as we think about this theme. And you see in this passage the past, the present, and the future. And so through this morning, we're going to look at the past, the present, and the future. How we used to live. How did we used to live? Well, we used to live with the passions of our flesh. Do you see that? You were dead in the trespass and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out our own desires, the desires of our body and the desires of our mind. And as we did this, we didn't have eternity in our mind. We were all about living for this world, living for the world that is a world of competition, living for the world which is a world all about winning, living for a world which is all about power, living for a world which is all about increasingly nationalism, living for a world that is about me. What kind of world is that we're living in? Well, it's a world that brings brokenness, it's a world that brings suffering, it's a world that brings enormous pain. We live out of our shadow mission, that mission that separates us from one another, rather than living out our God-created mission, which is made as male and female in the image of God. We actually live in our comfort zone, and we're happy. Thank you very much. Like cataracts in our eyes, we're blinded. Self-preference and the idolatry of me renders our sight useless as we look at one another. We just cannot see. We need those glasses. And it's all about then our own personal flourishing. How can I flourish in this world, rather than how can my brother or sister flourish? As a church in South Africa, and at my church, we are really wrestling with this. I come from a church that is a predominantly white church. Anybody who's of another colour in our church, generally speaking, is a refugee from the rest of the continent. And that's seen to be great. We're a multicultural church because we've got other colours. But actually, are we truly representing the rainbow nation that Mandela fought freedom for? And above all, are we truly representing the rainbow nation that Jesus died on the cross for and that Jesus rose again for? And we're really having to work this one out as a church. Another quote from Martin Luther. The first question, this was as he was talking about the Good Samaritan. The first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed that question and said, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? It really struck me when I read that quote. Are we living as a Levite and a priest, or are we living as the Good Samaritan modeled to us? How does my sense of personal importance hinder my ability to see what is beautiful and broken around me? What are the opinions, biases and prejudices that have been ingrained in me through my upbringing, through my brand of church, through preferred media sources that I go to on my computer? Am I too busy to see the humanity, dignity, and image of God in those I love, those I live with, those I stumble into, those I work alongside? Over the last 3 years, I've spent a lot of time on South African campuses. And alongside those campuses, as I've done that, I have seen the tragedy of this kind of division. There has been a lot of protests going on. I don't know whether it got here to New Zealand. The protests actually were about core justice issues on campus, but it quickly became quite racial, very sadly, and predominantly because the protesters wanted to keep it to a particular colour, and there was a reason why they did that, and I'm not even going to begin to unpack that. But if you'd like to chat further about what's going on in South Africa, I'd love to, because this is something that is deep and close to my heart, and is the reason why I'm in South Africa. But what went on there in the protests on that campus, I was involved as an observer, trying to bring peace in a very conflicted environment, where there was confliction between the students, confliction with the police, confliction with other students of another colour, confliction with other authorities in the university. And as I stood there and observed and watched, my heart cried and cried and cried. Say, Lord, what has our world come to that we cannot see each other as human beings. What has our world come to that I would have somebody say to me in my face, and I'm not quite sure whether I should say this on the mic, but maybe I will. Are these being recorded at all? Okay. Maybe this can be said quietly. But what I was shocked by, and I'm gonna move it away from that, but I had some absolutely shocked. And I just thought, well, actually, at least he had the honesty to say that. Because there are probably quite a lot of other people that I know who think that, but may not necessarily say it. So how can this be changed? God. Do you see that in Ephesians 2? But God. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us. Because of his rich mercy. He didn't need to pour out his mercy and grace on us at the cross, but he did. And he loved us because he loved us because he loved us. And who we were, where we came from, what our culture was made no difference, because he created us. He created this beautiful diversity that we see in the world of people of all colors of skin, of people of all different hairstyles, of people of all different languages and of different cultures. You see, the gospel is what we're being called to live out in our daily lives as we seek to live out eternity, which is to come. This book is a brilliant book. There are a couple of books here that I want to show to you that are great. But this book is called Mending the Divides. And there's a fantastic, I want to read from it because I think this is great. Worshipping the idol of safety greatly inhibits our ability to worship the crucified and risen Jesus. By immersing ourselves into the center of the story we've been called to tell with our lives. When we worship the idol of safety, we can quickly compromise our kingdom witness and begin to justify the means through which safety is achieved. As we've wrestled with this idol of safety in the John Huckins and Jer Swigart, who wrote this book, are part of a community in the US that is really seeking to live out a different story. As we've wrestled with this idol of safety, we've repeatedly been convicted by this truth. Jesus never called us to be safe. He called us to be faithful. According to Jesus, faithfulness moves us beyond love of neighbor to love of enemy. If pursuit of our safety trumps our ability to love whoever God has in our path, fear wins and we distance ourselves from God's heart for the world. That is the reality in South Africa. I don't know how that reality works itself out here in New Zealand. And I'm going to leave you to do the work of thinking that through, because I wouldn't dare to say that of a culture that I do not know. But we were never called to safety. Safety is not our call. As I was involved on the camp with the students, on the second, we decided, kind of the second round of protests, that we were going to take away a bunch of the student leaders and we were going to talk through some of these issues together. As we did that, we decided very purposefully to take away students which were students predominantly from the protest movement, and so therefore students of one color, of black. When we took them away, it was an incredibly difficult space to be in as a white person. And it was also an incredibly difficult space for the black students to be in as black people, because we were there and we represented something that was causing them deep pain. But we looked at each other in the face and we said to each other that we were actually going to go through these 5 days listening to one another, hearing what was going on. On the second day, I honestly thought that all the students were going to leave. When it came to the fifth day, and we brought everything to the foot of the cross, and we shared communion together, some of them not being believers, and watching some of us share communion, it was quite an incredible experience. And we all looked at each other in the face, believers and non-believers, and said, only Jesus has allowed this 5 days to happen. Only Jesus. Why? Because of God. Because of God loving the world so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross, that we might know what it is to have a personal relationship with God that allows us to love him first and love one another as equals. The more I've engaged in some of these difficult spaces, the more I've realized that the need to listen is critical. All too quickly, I have jumped to try and defend. What am I trying to defend? I need to listen and learn what it is to listen. At an SCO, I said, I think earlier in the week, that I used to work for the IFES movement in South Africa. And at an SCO staff conference, we were talking about this whole area of race and of reconciliation, and what does that look like in the movement, and what does that look like in South Africa. And I, being naively English, said to one of the other staff workers, oh, I don't see colour. What I was saying when I said I don't see colour was, I see us as equals. I see us as made in the image of God. I don't see colour. What she was hearing was, I don't see the pain that you have gone through all these years in South Africa. I don't see your poverty. I don't see what you're struggling with. I don't see the issues that you are going through. I actually needed to enter into her pain, and I needed to understand that in order to say, I do see colour. And I cannot even begin to understand what your story of living in this country has been like. But I do see it, and I want to listen to it, and I want to understand it as best I know how, so that I can relate to you as my sister in Christ, as best I know how. When we've really understood things from another perspective, we find ourselves living out God's kingdom, and it's redemptive. Archbishop Coleridge in Australia, I think, and I just found, it's just a minute long this, but I found this, the whole thing, if you want to download the whole thing, do. It's a very powerful short 6 minute clip on what it means to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But he picks up on the theme that we've been talking about just here. Sees the other as family. It's a kingdom that sees the other as my sister, as my brother. It's a kingdom that puts Jesus at the center. It's a kingdom that says, Jesus died on the cross for this. And Jesus died on the cross for this, not for nothing. He paid an enormous sacrifice. And so I too am going to live out that sacrifice and live that life that points to eternity when the lion lies with the lamb. For we're all one in Christ. Different, yes. Diverse, yes. And praise God for that. Because in doing that, we model the diversity and the difference that we see in the Trinity. But we're one. We've been made alive together with Christ. And that is exciting. My life is so much richer for seeing the other as my brother and sister, and for sharing in their stories and hearing their stories. And if that is a story of eternity, then why wait? Beautiful picture there of Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's live out that reality as we wait for the perfect reality of what is to come. And when we do that, it's a powerful testimony. How many of you know the powerful testimony that came out of the Rwandan genocide from the IFES movement there? Anybody know it? A few of them. A few of you. Let me share it with you. So the Rwandan genocide happened 24 years ago. Unspeakable atrocities of genocide that I'm sure we know about. And over 800,000 people were killed in the space of 10 days. And that was between the Hutus and the Tutsis. It was between these two different people groups in Rwanda and, in fact, in Burundi as well. Now, the IFES movement had been Hutu and Tutsi together. And when this happened, the Tutsis ran off into the mountains and were in hiding for fear of what would be done to them by the Hutu people. The IFES movement there, the GBU decided that they were going to take food parcels up to the mountain. So the GBU Hutus went to visit their brothers and sisters up in the mountain, and they gave them food. And it's an incredible story. I encourage you to read it. It's actually in, if you have anywhere, Shining Like Stars by Lindsay Brown. It's a story that's in there, and it's really worth reading. But you know, the impact of what those students did was that the president of that country called in the GBU General Secretary, the equivalent of Nigel over there, and said, "What is going on?" And there was the opportunity to share the story of the gospel by saying, in Christ there is no Hutu or Tutsi. In Christ we are one. So in Christ we love our brother and sister as we love ourselves. And that is why we went to take food parcels. What a powerful, powerful testimony. 24 years later, in fact 23 years later, Uwimama Denise, who was one of the many thousands of people whose hearts have ended up being healed by God's word and by that testimony, said this: "I was born and grew up in Congo, but my daddy was living in Rwanda. After the genocide against Tutsis in 1994, we came back to Rwanda. I found that my daddy and only two of his relatives had survived the genocide. My mum told me that among those who were killed, there were many who loved me very much. But those relatives who survived did not show me any love or care at all. For that reason, I hated Hutus. I was so proud of being a Tutsi. My friends and I at high school used to teach one another how to identify Hutu people, and then we would separate ourselves from them. After I got saved, I came to know that hatred is a sin, and I started pretending that I loved Hutus. But in my heart, I knew that I did not. When I joined UGBR," God, and UGBR is the IFES movement in Rwanda, "God started working on those issues in my life through the fellowship meetings, small group Bible study, and especially through events on healing and reconciliation. Gradually, I came to know and appreciate my true identity in Christ, that I am a child of God. I remember once I heard God asking me, "What if you were born as a Hutu?" Then I realized I didn't choose to be born Tutsi, nor did Hutus choose to be Hutus. Since then, I opened my heart to God and allowed Him to heal me and set me free from the bondage of hatred. I forgave them for what they did and asked them to forgive me for the hatred I had been carrying in my heart. I'm now grateful to God that my love to both Tutsi and Hutu is the same and is real. A wonderful testimony and a real story. Reconciliation is a journey, not a destination. You will know you are on it if it is messy and complicated, beautiful and transformational. Let's embrace that journey and embrace that journey of beauty and transformation in our own lives. And once it happens in our own lives, guaranteed it will happen in the community around us and in the world around us as we engage with it. And then we come to the future as we look at Ephesians 2. Remember, we've gone from the past to the but God present into the future, verse 7. Let me just read, because it's in the middle of the sentence. I'm going to read from verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that, this is the reason, in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And I'm going to jump down to verse 11. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. Remember that you were, takes you back to the testimony of that student, hey? Remember that you were alienated. Remember that you were separated, having no hope and without God in the world. But God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. That's the future and that's our present reality if we have given our life to the Lord Jesus. To be living out the beauty of that reconciliation. There's a poem that I wanted to share with you. It's a poem that has had an enormous impact, and I'll read it just in a minute. But as you think of your country, as you think of here, if this is the image of heaven, if heaven is this beautiful image of the lion and lamb lying down together, then Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven means that as you live here in New Zealand, you need to live differently with the other. Whether you are married or whether you are, help me with the word beginning with P? Pakeha. Pakeha, thank you. Whether you are married or whether you are Pakeha, whether you have come from Malaysia, or whether you have come from China, or from Vietnam, or from Indonesia, what does it mean for you to see one another as brother and sister in Christ in TSCF? What does it mean for you to see one another as brothers and sisters across the campus. What does it mean in the country? We're going to hear a little bit about that through the rest of today as we go and spend time at the Marae with Vinny and with his community, and to hear his story and his story of living in this country as a Maori. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of silos. But because we live in that world doesn't mean we need to live out that world. As God's people, we live out a different world. And as students, you have a key role to play in that. Because I believe that just as in Rwanda, when students start to model something on the universities, the rest of the country sees things differently. And it does have an impact. I've seen it in South Africa, and I long to see it more in South Africa in terms of the reconciliation area. I've seen it in terms of justice issues in the last 3 years. But my prayer for my own country that I'm living in is that we might be able to see the other and listen to the other. And a poem that has really had impact for me, I want to read it to you, because often we talk about safe spaces and providing safe spaces, but I felt uncomfortable with that, because I thought, do we really want to be in a safe space? And I don't think the gospel calls us to be in a safe space. So I came across a poem that is called Brave Spaces. And these are the kind of spaces I would love to see happening in South Africa, on our campuses, in our communities. Let me read the poem to you. Together, we will create brave space, because there is no such thing as a safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars and we have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and more love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be. But it will be our brave space together. And we will work on it side by side. I'll happily give you that poem over WhatsApp. If you want it over WhatsApp, just come and tell me. But it takes some time, I think, to think it through and to figure it out. Today, we're going to go to Vinny. I think, is it Vinny's Marae? It is. Or one of them. One of his. And as we go there today, in the light of what we've heard from Ephesians 2, in the light of thinking through what it is to live this out, I would love you to reflect on some questions. And we're just going to spend a couple of minutes now before we leave this space to just reflect on these questions, to prepare ourselves for going to listen to the story of another community that might be different to ours. These are the questions I want you to think about. Who am I? Who are you? What is your story? How does your story intersect with the stories of the community that will be hosting us? Remember that word, hosting us. Where we're going, we're being hosted. It's not our space. It's the space of our hosts. And so how we engage and walk into that space, we need to ask, how does my story intersect with their story? What walls or barriers exist in me that might hinder me from being welcomed and loved in the community that I am visiting? What preconceived perceptions of the host community should I lay down to help be open to bring loved... Sorry, that's a terrible phrase there. Let me read that in good English. What preconceived perceptions of the host community should I lay down to help to be open, loved and welcomed, and to learn from my hosts? And then as we go into the Marae, Vinny's going to be hosting us. He's going to be sharing a little bit of his own personal story. I think he's going to be sharing a little bit of the national story as well. And as we go through the day, he, I know, is going to open up with some opportunity for questions. When asking questions, and we're going to come back to these questions because I do want us to just pause and reflect on these questions here, but when asking questions, can I encourage us to ask questions of curiosity, ask questions of appreciation, ask questions from a place of humility, recognizing those prejudices and assumptions that you might have, and ask questions of compassion, asking deeper questions that help you to see our common humanity. And after we've done this at the Marae, can I encourage you, even on the in the cars going there and in the cars coming back, well, in the cars coming back, it'd be good to share your experiences of the day. But can I encourage you as well to look around this room and to see people from different communities and places and spaces and stories, and to listen to their story and to hear from them. I found it fascinating. Once I got over the hurdle of sitting next to somebody who supported Colombia, I then found out that they came from Malaysia, which really excited me. And I wanted to find out all about Malaysia, and it was really interesting to hear from Grace about the story of what's going on in Malaysia, and of the change of government there and the impact that that is having in helping the nation to see the other differently. I'm not going to say any more because I want you to chat to Grace about that. But be thinking about that the rest of today. Having heard from Vinny and having experienced our time at the Marae, what are some of the other stories to listen to in our community here as we live together these days? So let's pause for a couple of minutes just to reflect, or maybe 1 minute, just to reflect on these questions. Yep, I'll flip them back. And then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to either Ian or... Okay, I'm handing over differently. For us to find out about the story of today and what the rest of today is going to look like.